Good evening, Patriots. From the top, this week finished the Cyber Symposium with an attempt of an attack on Mike Lindell and an unbelievable amount of information and knowledge that was exposed, which obviously freaked the deep state out. An event that Mike funded through the profits that he makes in his company. And so we want to continue to push the sale of his products as probably one of the best CEOs in the nation. And on the 27th at Bard's Fest, he's going to be speaking, and that's our Slipper Revolution Day. So you want to go to mypillow.com or frankspeech.com. There's some great deals there, and you use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S, and you can get yourself some good deals, and you get some great products, and you're going to get some great sleep. And it's all going to happen with just a quick little tour de force over there on mypillow.com. You can also call their counseling number, which is 800-975-2939. That's right, Patriots. They have a counseling number. They have a counseling number for those of you that are having, that are absolutely having a hard time sleeping. So that is why you call it. You call that number, and when you call that number, you can tell them, I'm having a hard time sleeping because of the stress, and they'll tell you, we've got just the cure for you. That cure is buy some My Pillows. And you're like, oh, okay, and there you go. So use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, at mypillow.com or frankspeech.com, and or call the 800 number, 800-975-2939. All right. Also, Bard's Fest, 26th to the 29th of August. And that is going to be one of the greatest revivals in the history of humankind, I truly believe. It's going to be something else. We are going to be live streaming it. Clout Hub is going to be there with a team. We're going to be using some of their new technologies. We're going to have it live streamed through Brighteon. It's also being live streamed through Mike Lindell's channel. So you want to get over to Bard's Fest. Now remember, a couple of things. Both venues, both ticket selling venues, which include, that's Ticketmaster and Eventbrite, have refunded the monies now for these sales. And of course, you got some ridiculous alert that said, oh, the event is over. The event is over. So no, it's not over. It's very much alive. We just changed the game, because while the cabal was trying to siphon off money from our God-loving event, we did this. We set up our own ticketing capability. So we ask for donations. This is a donation-driven event. If you would like to attend, you're going to need tickets. Well, you can just go to our site, and it says right there, it says, I'm attending Bard's Fest. I need a ticket. So you click on that little button that says tickets, and this is what it says when you get to that page. It says, this is God's event. You determine the price per ticket that you would like to donate. We are asking for a minimum donation of $5 per ticket. You decide. You can get up to 7 tickets per transaction. Each ticket is good for the full 4 days of Bard's Fest event. Children under 12 are free. Your donations are what makes this event possible. If you cannot afford to purchase tickets, please contact us at tickets@bardsfm.com. And we've had an enormous number of Patriots come out here and help with that sort of funding so that we can afford to give tickets away to those who can't afford tickets. So that's a really big deal here, okay? And so you can get your tickets right there. And then when you get through with this very nifty, cool ticket processor that we've now built on our website, we're as good as Ticketmaster, because you're going to get your tickets emailed to you in your email box. And you're going to get a neat little QR code, which you're going to either want to have the ticket or the digital ticket with you so we can scan it when you get in the door. You can also donate right there, because that's the other little box. It says, I'm not attending Bard's Fest. I want to donate. So you click on that great little donate button, and where does it take you? It takes you to PayPal. And what is it right there? It says, look at this. Look at all these categories I can support. I can support scholarship tickets. I can support shofars. I can support ministry. I can support county by county. I can even support the Bard's Fest Fund. So see, it's all going to Bard's Fest. It's all so awesome. Wonderful, wonderful. And thanks to you amazing Patriots, we've made this possible to make this a donation-driven event, which is truly as it should be. And I cannot tell you how humbling it is for all your wonderful donations that have made this possible. But we still got to keep doing it because we've got to keep, we're not quite where we need to be, but we're going to go with this thing. It's good. So it's all wonderful. So go to bardsfest.com or go to bardsfm.com/bardsfest. Either way, there you go. So, and you get there and you can do what you need to do to get your tickets or to give us a wonderful donation. And we appreciate everything you're doing. 2 Kings 17:35-41. The Lord made a covenant with them and commanded them, "You shall not fear other gods or bow yourselves to them or serve them or sacrifice to them. But you shall fear the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm. You shall bow yourselves to him, and to him you shall sacrifice. And the statutes and the rules and the law and the commandment that he wrote for you, you shall always be careful to do. You shall not fear other gods. You shall not forget the covenant that I have made with you. You shall not fear other gods, but you shall fear the Lord, your God, and he will deliver you out of the hand of your enemies." However, they would not listen, but they did according to their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and also served their carved images. Their children did likewise, and their children's children, and their fathers did. So do they to this day. The legacy of the family line is what some of this speaks of, among other things. God has offered the most amazing opportunity, and it's through God and through the sacrifice of his Son that we have everlasting life. And because it's not tangible, because you can't get in and smell the new car smell, because you can't press a button and all your doors lock or unlock, or you can't press another button and your seat starts to get air conditioning flowing through it or heat flowing through it, or you have remote start. Because those things aren't there, this promise of everlasting life seems to be like this nefarious riddle, and people just don't believe it. And it's stunning because they turn instead to the false gods. Now, when this is written, the idolatry that was there was much more visible. It was idolatry of Baal, Moloch, Baphomet. It was the physical sacrificing of people's children to these gods, where literally they would take the babies and the firstborn and they would put them into an oven and bake them in a fire as they screamed and died as a sacrifice to the gods. These were the horrors. What has happened today is they've learned their lesson, meaning the fallen, and they've taught them their bloodlines well to take this behind the scenes, to do it in things like a basement at a place called Ping Pong. They do it in other places where people can't see, like Shady Grove. And what happens is that we have worked very carefully and been very diligent in our obedience to their lies that they put before us, and we say, we don't see it. We don't believe it, because if we can't touch it and smell the new car smell, it doesn't exist. We're the fools in this model, not them. They're actually quite cagey. They're pretty smart. They've planned things out and manipulated the reality before our very eyes. And what we've done is we've accepted that reality. And that reality is that we've accepted fear and the worship of other gods, as God specifically told us not to in 2 Kings 17:35-41. The problem with idolatry in this day and age is idolatry is not, and you'll hear people speak of it because you'll hear corrections made. If I refer to idolatry, I can tell you, I've talked to enough people, they'll say, well, no, wait. Now that's idolatry of like a worship of an idol. No, idolatry is when you separate yourself from the worship and priority of God. I'll give you idolatry, worshiping Kanye West. I'll give you idolatry, worshiping Michael Jackson. I'll give you idolatry, when you start to worship your vehicle, your motorcycle, your things more than you worship God. When we start to put those consumptions in, money is a massive idolatry. It's a trap. These are idolatries in which when we put our love and interest in them, we turn our back on God. And our obsession of our life is another one, where our fear for how we are going to end or live our life. We have to pack money aside and we have to stick money at the other end. Make sure that we're safe because we have this worship of living happily ever after through money and not trusting in God. Idolatries are very powerful things. And when they step in front of us, sometimes it's subtly, and then we suddenly realize they're before us. God's told us specifically not to. Now, in 2 Kings, he's talking specifically about gods. The problem is, in this day and age, gods themselves have been replaced in the old way with the movie stars, with the headliners, on the big music acts, the politicians, and people worship him. Look at Fauci. People literally worship him. They're writing a children's book on how Fauci saved the world. There are parents out here that truly worship him. They think that he saved the world. Fauci has single-handedly killed more people in a short period of time than anybody in our recent history. This is where we have to find our strength to speak through that idolatry and find truth. And it's a very difficult time because when we get pressured with the fears and the pressure of a world collapsing, there is a tendency for us to cling or to run to the things that give us comfort. We've been very well conditioned in our time that when we seek comfort, one of the things we do is that we run to buy more stuff. Like, go to Amazon Prime and start buying stuff as fast as you can, because if I can get it here tomorrow, I can feel better. Man, if I could just get my hands on some of those Hershey's dark chocolates. Oh, look, Amazon's got them in the 5-pound bag. I can get it Amazon Prime by Sunday. Let's get it done. See? We do that constantly. Oh, man, I've been wanting that. Sure, I've been wanting that new seat cover for my car. I can't afford it, but you know what? I'm not feeling very good now. I'm just going to put it on the credit card. There you go. Trap. Ding. Catch. See, we've been engineered to walk away from God. Instead of turning to God, Lord, I'm, as an example, Lord, I feel this burden on me. I feel the anxiety and fear. I need to guide me and direct me in a place that I can make something good of that. How often do we do that? I would argue probably not very often. And then you hear the Lord say, as an example, go give $50 or go give a donation to this person. And there's that hesitation because then you're like, oh, wait a minute, $50, I'd buy 3 of those bags of Hershey chocolates. No, I think I'll do that instead. And we don't listen. See, that's the problem. We don't listen. God is a forgiving God. He's also a wrathful God. And we forget that piece. God is not here to play games. And we play a lot of them. And as human beings, as his children, we are always trying to flip the script and do something that's going to benefit us because our corruption over time has been profound. We've tried to find ways out of things instead of just confronting them and saying the truth. I was doing some work on my Jeep the other day, and I was working with my dad. And it was a nice time. We were just doing some work on the back. And I catch out of the corner of my eye a guy shuffling down the driveway, which, just so I'm very clear, when somebody starts dragging their feet and shuffling, I'm already my spine's standing up because I can't stand it. It's meekness. It's like walk in the world with a purpose or get the hell out of the way. That's kind of how I am. Okay. So I notice he's got a paper in his hand. Not just a paper, but his whole stack of papers. And he's coming from the backside of my dad. And I look up and I'm just working away, and I figure my dad knew him, which he did. And then it begins. Of course, the first thing that goes through my mind is this is one of these COVID vaccine visitors, and I'm already a little bit on edge. And so there's a point that we are always trying to be very polite, but this happened to be a very, these times, my dad is 84, and we used to work on vehicles all the time when I was young. But these times, at this point, it's when we have those moments, they're special times, and I value them. And I think the reason I want you to bring this story up is because we don't value our time enough. We don't take value in taking time for ourselves and taking time with God and putting up boundaries. We always try to accommodate because we've been so conditioned to accommodate. You can't live a life where you're accommodating all the time. You have to have time and understand the purpose of your time and the importance of your time. And when you do that, you start to value every moment differently. So then we start this small talk. Oh, hi, how are you? And it keeps droning on a little bit. And my dad's a very polite guy. And I've lived, I can be polite, but not always. And that was one of these moments. And I just said, you know, I turned to him. I said, what do you need? Well, and I asked him again, what do you need? What can we do for you? Now I'm on my third time. I'm like, all right, listen, I want to know what you're here for. Well, I seem to be, am I interrupting? I just looked at him. I said, yes, you are. And I leave. And see, that's my point, is you have to have the strength to tell people truth, right? This is a Sunday afternoon. We're having a good time. I don't need somebody strolling into the driveway and trying to take away my time, which I value. If I had been praying, I would have said the same thing. And this is exactly where we've forgotten our way. We have forgotten our way to be firm with people. We don't have to be mean, but we have to be firm. And we have to draw lines to understand why we're here. So when we get back to this, we go back to our relationship with the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord is everything. And our relationship through Christ is everything. It's everything we do. It's a discipline. Just like a warrior goes out and trains every day, we are to be with the Lord every single day. And there's dedicated times to that. And if we don't take those times and dedicate ourselves to those times, we're not benefiting. We're not nurturing that relationship. We're not getting stronger in our relationship. And we're not learning the discipline of living with God in our heart. We are a culture that gets slipped away easily. It's literally like squirrel and everybody's going somewhere. And the people that are in control of this world understand that so well. Today it's COVID, tomorrow it's a mask, next day it's going to be some sort of pimple. After that's going to be a boil on your butt. You know, we're going to keep adding these things up to where it's like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. And that's exactly why they do it. Watch what Fauci does. One day, you're not going to wear masks. 3 hours later, you're going to all get an injection. 3 hours later, we're going to rescind that idea. And 4 hours later, no, we decided we're going to inject only the kids. They're keeping the ball moving on us constantly because it's part of wearing us down. And because they know people aren't always chase the squirrel, they keep them off balance for one very critical reason. At the core of all things, there's one thing they're trying to do. They're trying to keep the focus away from Christ. You think I'm kidding? These people know the power of Jesus Christ. These people, and if you think that they don't, why else would they be separating us from church? Why else would they be trying to close churches down? These people know the power of Jesus Christ. And they fear it. But they're masterful at their fear. Because instead of cowering, which is what we do, they turn their fear into our fears, and they project it right back on us. So they start creating this noise and this confusion, and in so doing, they get everybody looking left and right, and everybody's scattered around. And in the midst of that chaos, how much time do you honestly think was given by every person in the midst of this craziness of masks and worrying about getting an injection and having now to think about, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can cross state lines without getting an injection, and they're going to not allow me to travel on a plane even though I don't fly at all, but I'm still worried about not being able to travel on a plane because someday I may want to travel on a plane, but I haven't had an opportunity to travel on a plane yet, and now they're telling me I can't travel on a plane without an injection. Oh my goodness. It's lunacy. And what isn't happening in any of that? Where is the humbling before God? Where is that relationship with Christ? Where is that pure time you set aside and say, Lord, forgive me. I feel the anxiety, if this is your case. I feel the pressures and tensions from outside, and I have been distracted, but I need this time now to have you help me lift this burden. Where is that time? The answer is, few do it. In all of this chaos, not enough are doing it. And they're keeping this chaos going to constantly keeping you deflected. You're going to hear Pastor John Benzinger speak at Bard's Fest. And I've quoted this quote a number of times because it's just so dead on point. While we question Christ, the demons know exactly who he is. You see, every demon out here knows who Jesus Christ is. And if the occult didn't know who Christ was, if the Luciferian order that runs this world didn't know who Christ was, or who he really was, then why would they care if you went to church? Why would they care if you worshiped? The strange part about this statement, and it's most profound, is that the Luciferians, which are all those in power, believe more in Christ than most Christians. Isn't that a stunning statement? I'll say it again. The Luciferians that rule this world believe more in Christ than most Christians because they know who he is and they know what he represents and they know the power of what he brings. So the next question is, why are we so confused? And the answer goes right back to 2 Kings 17:35 to 41. You shall not fear other gods or bow yourselves to them or serve them or sacrifice them, but you shall fear the Lord. And it ends with, however, they would not listen, but they did according to their former manner. That is exactly where we are. That in spite of the miracles that are around us, and they're around us every single day, in spite of all that God has offered us and as a whole, he said, my children, fear not. Love thy neighbor as you would want to be loved. Take care of those in need. Protect the innocent. Fear not. Love me above all things. Fear not. Have faith. Fear not. And trust in me, for all will be provided and given. And fear not. It's pretty amazing. And somehow that easy equation is less attractive than the promise to get that new Ford Raptor with the XLT leather super package or whatever it is at $75,000 of indebtedness. That's far better. Because that gives me immediate satisfaction. That makes me look cool driving down the road. And it's a cool factor. But God doesn't need cool. And our Savior Christ doesn't need cool. But I will guarantee you, at the moment in time when they return or you face them, you'll understand cool. And you'll understand hot, too, if you failed. If you failed, it's going to be really hot. It's going to be like elevator down, one small bottle of water, please, and we'll see you in the next millennium. Enjoy your stay. I understand it's a bit warm. Hope you dressed accordingly. Goodbye. This is a time when our idols are all around us. The number one idol people have these days is a smartphone. That's their number one idol. This is the worships that we give and the time we give. And if you can imagine if everybody in the world put their phone down for 2 hours a day. 2 hours a day, they put their phone down. And in that 2 hours, they did two things. 1 hour, they spent in prayer, praying to Christ Jesus and God through Christ to the Father. And the other hour, they spent doing something for themselves, productive, physically doing something, and communing with God in the process, letting God work through them with their gifts and talents. Imagine that. Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be something? The world would change overnight. The crazy part about all of this is our relationship with God is so powerful that none of this, if we're standing in that relationship, none of this world that's around us will touch us. It may get close, don't get me wrong. It'll feel like danger close sometimes. But if we're truly going to push into the Lord and we're going to stand there with Christ in our heart and we're going to push in, we're going to know that the Lord's going to protect us. Consider Ephesians 6:10-18. Now, this is an important passage in many, many ways. And what we learn from Ephesians is that there is an armor that we put up. But I think there's more to it than that. Let's read it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, keyword, withstand the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication, to that end, keep it alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints, and also for me, the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly and proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. All of this is there's a conditional put into the armor of God, and it's a conditional that accepts something. The whole armor of God accepts the fact that the evil one is always coming at you, and there's always going to be things that you're defending against. And so it is essential that every day, in a process throughout the day, that you keep up this spiritual armor. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to defend against a war that is raging constantly around you and with you being the target. It is hard to imagine a place in a world where the way that we live in this world, that we are all royalty. This is a world where the world is ruled by a handful of people, a small group of elites, and they've dictated to us what we're going to do. and we've obeyed like good slaves. But they fear each and every one of us, and they most fear the assembly of us. Now, on the surface, we keep saying to ourselves, and we keep trying to tell ourselves, that that's just their concern of, they're trying to take away our freedom of speech. Yes, but it's much deeper than that. If they can have the power of throwing arrows and slings and arrows and the things at us, and we can deflect those with the shield of armor, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you start to understand how powerful each person is and why they work so hard at diminishing that importance in our eyes, because they know that each one of us, if we stand, is like a king. Not the king, but like a king, like royalty. Where we walk within the body of Christ. And that strength, when we stand up to them, they absolutely fear it. So they work overtime to convince you that you're not at all anything but weak. So our armor is truly real in the sense of a spiritual armor. No, I don't think that you run into a maelstrom of bullets, and if you're foolish enough to let that happen, and then you complain with getting hit with some bullets, do I think that you understood Ephesians 6:10 to 18? I think you were a dumb fool. But in the sense of a spiritual war, God has given us the body armor for us to be able to maneuver and in and around this without getting injured. But the key is it has to be maintained so that we can withstand, the key word, the evil day. And every day is an evil day. So on the converse of that, if we don't take the time to build up our armor, and we don't take the time to strengthen that armor, then we shouldn't be surprised if we get heavily attacked. We shouldn't be surprised if we suddenly find ourselves feeling like we're corrupted with poor values and corrupted forces within us. We let our armor down. We're in a war, and we have been since the beginning, and this is the part that's amazing. The enemy has just done the opposite. It simply told you, you're not in a war, because they can control the narrative. You're not in a war, child. Okay. Believe me, you're not in a war, but I want you to trust me, because I'll be here to guide you, protect you. That's the idolatry right there. The idolatry of the worship of the state and the putting of trust within the state rather than the trust and worship of God. The greatest irony of this time that we live is those that are proclaiming that they can't stand God are the same ones that are worshiping the state and the pharmaceutical companies. That also, by the way, the same people that said that they couldn't stand corporations. And they'll tell you they're not doing it. They'll say things like, I don't worship them. I don't trust pharmaceutical companies. Okay. I heard one this morning. It was great. Joe Rogan, on Joe Rogan's show. I don't trust pharmaceutical companies, but I trust my doctor. That's just a blind obedience of a type of worship. Did you take the time to research? Did you take the time to ask questions? So, the critical thing here is that we put our trust in only one, and that's God. We put our trust, and we put our allegiance, and we put our worship, and it's through Christ to the Father. Through Christ to the Father. And it's through Jesus Christ that we build that connection and restore ourselves. But it's not through Moderna to the Father. It's not through Johnson & Johnson through the Father. It's not through Pfizer to the Father. Well, maybe if you should made the Father to be Father Hitler, maybe. Or Father Fauci, maybe. But it has no relationship to God. And yet this side over here, this mass of sheep that are out here taking the injection, are putting that level of worship within those that are guiding them. They're not questioning. They're being diligent and obedient. They say, take a shot. They say, okay, let me roll up my sleeve. Can I get three today instead of just one? I'm so encouraged by the shot. Can you just shoot three of them in my body right now? And I'll come back next week for another three. And maybe next week after that, I'll take another three because this is exciting. I'm going to be so obedient to, I'm going to make it up for everybody else that's not taking a shot. I'm going to be the super obedient gold star winner today. I'm going to take five shots in my arm. And tomorrow I'll do five shots in the other arm. See, all this is a sort of neurosis that happens when people worship things that are not God. The one God, the one true God, our God, the Creator, whose Son was sacrificed for our salvation. That God understands very clearly this game. And he understands very clearly the weakness of his children who choose to continually walk off the cliff in worship of the false idols. And that God, as much as he is patient, is equally wrathful. We've arrived at a point in time in the history of humankind where, quite frankly, I don't think there's been a dumber, lower IQ level of people in the world than right now. And if you're wondering which ones they are, most of them are the ones that took the injection. The critical thing here is they have moved away. And this is where we come back to in the days of Noah, or as in the days of Noah. So along this path, again, we go back to where we started. They refused to listen to God. They refused to worship God because it didn't have the new car smell. And when the time came that they needed God the most, when they truly needed to hear God and to be with God, they had moved so far away that even if they had intended to, they couldn't hear him anymore. Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Over the years, association with material things, the lures that draw people off the course, the making life easier model, which is constantly seems to be a theme, the stripping of God from our institutions, the stripping of God from our schools, from the media, everywhere, the void was created and the people walked into it, and instead of turning towards the eyes of Christ and turning towards Christ and all eyes on Christ, they walked away, and now they're wandering and vulnerable to what the desert brings. There's no easy way forward here, but our responsibility each and every day has to be to ensure that we are not wrapped in the illusions of idolatry. We are going to get through this in a powerful way as long as we keep our eyes on Christ. And as we do that, we are going to embolden and empower our relationship through Christ to the Father in such a way that we can separate ourselves increasingly from this matrix of control which they continue to put over us. And if we keep our faith strong and we hold to that faith and we continue to keep our worship strong within our households, the storm will rage. And maybe it'll cause a little structural damage in the house. It might knock down a few trees. It might blow out a window or two. But you will survive it, and we will survive it. And in surviving it, we become the remnant that leads the new back to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. of deep reflections on the walk that we take, the influences that are around us, those things like idolatries, Lord. They constantly jump into our lives. Let us find our way clean of idolatry. We pray, Lord, for eyes to see and ears to hear, the discernment necessary to leave all of those hooks that exist around our lives, to return to you fully, to stand before you, and then go to our knees to humble ourselves before you and to heal this land. To truly and honestly, Lord, to move our hearts to such a place that we are not attached to any of the things of this world, but instead our heart is fully in at your mercy. Guide us, direct us in all we do. And let us never forget what we are leaving behind, but let us not bring it forward with us to continue to hold us back. Set us free in this world to create a better world and to do so in your name, in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. I just keep thinking of this Devo song. It's a wonderful world we live in. Big, fantastic place. Wonderful people everywhere. Love the way they do their hair. It just sums up everything. It is the perfect, song. That and David Byrne. You want to go listen to old Talking Heads with David Byrne. Man, he nails so many of those things. So, God has created an incredible world. His children, for a large part, have stomped on it, throat-punched it, and kicked it off to the curb. But before us sits an opportunity, which is to restore the faith, where two or three are gathered as all is needed. Gideon's army only needed 300. We have Bard's Fest, a place to revive the world and revive the faith. And we can do it. But we have to be fully committed. We have to shred and shed the idolatries that we have. Be willing to walk away from everything you have and never come back. That's the true love of God, because we know that when we can do that, we're in his arms and he will guide us in every place he seeks to have us, no matter what that mission looks like. Because he's already given us the greatest prize. It's life eternal. So keep your head up and your eyes forward, never bow to evil, never relent, always press into this fight. Prayers are one of the most important aspects of everything we do right now. To quiet the mind, to heal the soul, to bridge ourselves with God, to connect ourselves with one another. It is through prayers that we build the web, the interconnectivity that God needs for his future world. God will never forsake us. It's always with us. And in the end, God will always win. So Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of our moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly, pave the road to better things. Letting go of the moments that could only keep us down. I can see it now. Can you see it now? We're on the edge of reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.